Welcome to the Simple Life podcast, where I take complex health and fitness ideas and break them down into bite-sized, actionable behaviors to simplify your routine so that you can reap the rewards and live a healthy and fulfilled life. I'll also be talking to experts on various topics to broaden your horizons and make sure that you are up to date and across all of the ways that you can improve your fitness, nutrition, and stress management practices. Let's get into it. Welcome back to another episode of The Simple Life. This is actually my first ever solo episode, and seeing as people who know me quite well know that I can chat and a chatty Cathy, I thought, oh, I'll just flick the microphone on and see how we go. I do have a bit of a theme for today's episode. If you haven't listened to the previous two, last week I spoke to Siobhan Liu about breath work, how she got into it, and how it can help you manage stress and basically see the results that you want to see from, you know, the efforts that you're making to change your body. Because if you're not, I guess, hormonally sound, and by no means am I an expert on hormones, but what we do know is that your body has to be in an internal environment, like in a good place where you can then feel safe enough to actually adapt to the stress that you're providing it. So it's no good, you know, lifting weights, exercising hard, trying to eat well if your body's not receptive to those changes. That's basically the gist of hormonal health and how important it is. But that was a super interesting chat. Breathwork is something that I don't know a whole lot about. So if you missed that, definitely go and catch that one up. And the episode before that was the first episode back of The Simple Life. And I spoke to our oldest client at BD Fitness, Lucy Child. And that was, I think, super enlightening for a lot of people who know Lucy now. She's, you know, incredibly impressive, a very high functioning mum, professional and athlete now. Like, she does a lot of things really well, but, you know, by her own admission, it wasn't always that way. She struggled when she started at the gym. It was something that she found really difficult. She said, in fact, if she hadn't have prepaid the first 12 weeks, she wouldn't have come back. Times change, things change, and her story, I think, is quite inspirational for a lot of people who are really struggling in their health and fitness journey and they just want to find something that they can sink their teeth into. I think her example is a really great one to follow. So earlier this year, I turned 30 years old at the end of January, and I did a post on social media on my Instagram at BenBDFit. If you don't follow already, I try and post helpful stuff almost every day. I did a post on the 30 lessons that I had learned from my journey in health and fitness. So when I started in the gym, it was in the school gym when I was 15, and we were allowed to go at lunchtimes on Tuesday, Thursdays, I think. And I would say that whilst I was confident in my ability to use my body from a sporting perspective, it was something that I always loved and something that I was not too bad at. Not great, but I enjoyed it and I was okay. I certainly wasn't comfortable with the way my body looked. So when I went to the gym, it was very much fueled from a position of insecurity. It was fueled from a position of, this is something that I'd love to change. I went through a stage where I bought every edition to the Australian Men's Fitness magazine for years, and I would read it religiously. And whilst I think those magazines certainly have value, and a lot of the people who contribute to those are experts in their field, sometimes it's marketing, right? So if you go on the magazine, it's like, you know, six exercises to a six pack, and, you know, if you just have this type of smoothie, then you'll be shredded and all that sort of stuff. And I guess the message that I needed to hear at the time was probably the message that I'm preaching now, where it's a lot more based around consistency. It's still very much focused on, you know, long-term growth and taking the stress off your physical appearance with training in particular, because I think a lot of people fall into the trap of using training as the only means to change their body. And I definitely did this. Whereas, as we know now, or, you know, if you don't know after listening to this, I hopefully you do know, nutrition is the really key lever to pull when it comes to changing your body composition. And you should train to be strong, train to build yourself up, which doesn't necessarily mean build muscle. It means build strength. It means build your cardiovascular capacity, and then your nutrition will dictate the course of your body composition. And I wish that was something that I learned earlier, but that was just, I mean, I haven't even written that down as the 30 things I wish I knew about fitness and nutrition when I first started in the gym. So that can be, I guess, you know, the prelude. I think it's prelude. So 30 statements or lessons that I wish I knew at 15 when I walked into the school gym. And I'll expand on a few of them, but some of them speak for themselves and a lot of them are related or are opposites in a way. Number one, a life without carbs is a life not worth living. I mean, everything delicious is basically fueled and, you know, composed of carbohydrates. And I certainly went through a period where I thought carbs were the enemy because, you know, low carb diets were huge as I was kind of, you know, late teens, early 20s. It was all about low carb. And I know I can pretty much guarantee that everyone listening to this has been through a low carb phase, and it blew my mind. And I was way too old when I learned this, that the calories that come from 1 gram of protein and the calories that come from 1 gram of carbohydrates are the exact same. That shocked me. But that's not to say that they act the same way in your body. There are, of course, slight differences, and I'll do episodes on this in the future, but certainly the energy that it provides our body is the same. So I was like, why am I not eating bread? Why am I not eating pasta? And actually, since I've not been restrictive with my diet in regards to ingredients, my overall health has improved, which I don't think is any coincidence. Number two, lunges are underrated. Lunges are my favorite lower body exercise for clients, and single leg work in general is super, super underrated for clients, just to basically bulletproof the lower half of your body. Helps with any kind of injury rehab, provided you can do the technique properly. There's a million different regressions and progressions you can do, but evening up the muscle imbalances that we all have, that it's totally normal to have, is so important. And you'll just feel so much stronger when your left leg and right leg are as close as possible to each other in strength. Lunges, super underrated. And the polar opposite, squats are overrated. I mean, obviously, when I say overrated, it doesn't mean that they're terrible. They're still a very good exercise, and they're super important that we can squat well, and they're a great measure of our hip mobility and overall flexibility and control, and we're using our core. We use a large amount of muscles. They're great for just stimulating metabolic, like, health in general, but they're a little bit overrated. You don't need to be able to squat that much to be strong, and I've certainly fallen in the trap of hurting myself and riding that line to, you know, of hurting myself just to squat 5 kilos more. And I look back now and I'm like, what was the point of that? But anyway, calories are king. Yes, they are. Now, if food quality is queen, I mean, obviously queen is super important too, but when it comes to quality versus quantity, quantity will always win out. Just now, this does not mean that it's like, oh, okay, well, if calories are all that matters, then I guess I could just live off muffins, donuts, and McMuffins and McChickens. It's like, well, not really, but it does mean that if you are walking around ignoring the energy content of your food, you are leaving results on the table, I promise. And that was a really, really big shift for me when I started to pay attention to that stuff. And it's what I teach clients now. It's not that you have to walk around counting calories, but you certainly need to be aware of them. Which brings me to my next point. You don't have to count calories, but it's a good educational tool for a month. It's no different to if you are budgeting your finances. It is valuable to know where you're spending your money. It's valuable to know easy areas that you could save money. It's exactly the same with your nutrition. Lots of people don't realize, and when I ask people, it's like, you know, what's your eating like? The flinch answer is always, oh yeah, pretty good. And it's like, well, if it's, oh yeah, pretty good, then why are we chatting about it? And that's not to make you feel bad, but the reality is it's very clearly not that good. So let's get to work on changing it. It's as simple as that. Like, if you've got a busted pipe, call a plumber. You know, it's pretty black and white, I think. Oh, this one. This is a good one, actually. Kids are not a valid excuse for not being fit. And I think, you know, it's very easy to blame a busy lifestyle, a busy time routine, and by no means am I saying that, you know, if you can't make time, that you're not motivated enough or that you don't value your health. But I think, I use the term zooming out a lot. I think if we wanted to, we could find some times where you could be a little bit more active. And I think a lot of that comes from actually having absolute clarity on what it takes to get fit. Too often, I think if I want to get fit, then I have to train 3, 4, 5 times a week. And it's like, well, actually, if you want to be fit, you just need to lift weights a couple of times and stay relatively active in your day-to-day life. Because fit is not a specific term. Fit is like it's very broad, and it's as much a lifestyle as it is an actual end goal. So kids should not be the reason that you're not fit. They should actually be the reason that you are fit, so that you can play with them, kick the footy, run down the park, do whatever. But I'm very open on the fact that I used to train for us to improve my body composition and gain lean muscle and lose fat. And whilst that's still important to me now, it's certainly not as important as wrestling and not breaking my back, or bouncing on the trampoline, or playing up the farm, swinging on playgrounds, all sorts of stuff like that. So kids aren't a valid reason for not being fit. And next point, neither is not having enough time. Listen, it's obnoxious to say we all have the same 24 hours in a day, because we don't. We all have different responsibilities, we all have different challenges, but we also have different advantages. And I guess all I'm hoping that this prompts you to do is just search your lifestyle for actually, where are my opportunities to be active? Can I park a little bit further away from work and walk? Can we walk to school more often? Because if we look for opportunities like that, I guarantee you'll find some. Push-ups are overlooked. They are an excellent exercise. Pretty self-explanatory. If you can do a proper push-up on your toes, keeping your elbows in close, bringing your chest forward, that is an outstanding measure of upper body strength. It's also super healthy for your shoulders. That being said, bad push-ups are really unhealthy for your shoulders, and that's when you start to kind of spread your elbows out wide and flare your shoulder blades. Try not to do that when you're doing push-ups. A strict pull-up is an awesome measure of upper body strength. Specifically for guys, I think it's terrific. And if you're a lady listening to this and you can do a strict pull-up, you are an absolute machine. Congrats to you. Static holds are phenomenal for all levels of fitness. I think they are overlooked when it comes to like overall strength. Like if you can hold a good plank for a minute and a half, 2 minutes, that's a great measure of core strength. If you can do a wall sit for 2 minutes, like they're overlooked when it comes to general programming, I think. And I think a lot of PTs are scared to use them too much because they're boring or they're hard or something like that. But they certainly have their place. And specifically for a body weight home workout, or if you've got 10 minutes and you're not sure what to do, you could do a lot worse than do a few minutes of planking and some wall sits, that's for sure. When you accept fitness will be a part of your life long term, it removes pressure of immediate perfection. Now, I was actually just jumped off a nutrition consult where we were chatting about Easter. It's Easter next weekend. And I understand completely the urgency when it comes to, I want to get results, I'm impatient, I want to do it now. However, this, if you're on a fat loss phase or a muscle gain phase, it is only a fraction of the time that you're going to be alive, hopefully. So if we just zoom out and say, okay, over the course of 12 months, is a couple of days of maybe extra chocolate and some hot cross buns, is that going to be the reason why I'm in a good position or not? The answer is always no. What we do on a Tuesday in July is going to be much more important than what we do on Easter Sunday. So as soon as we understand that, and I totally get having an impatience when it comes to results, and that's a different conversation, but when we zoom out, it means that we're less worried about perfect execution all the time, and it means that we can just take it for what it is. It's a social occasion, it's a time to be with our families or on a long weekend break, whatever it is. Don't worry about it too much. Next point, black and white fitness claims are nearly always bullshit. And I had to put the "are nearly always," but they just are bullshit because results live in the gray. So we say, carbs are bad. It's like, what do you mean? Or, running's bad, weights are bad. Anything that's black and white is just marketing spin. And as if you ask a coach a question and their first answer isn't, it depends, unless you've asked a question with a hell of a lot of detail, that should be a red flag. Because I get questions all the time in the gym or, you know, online, and it's like, oh, you know, what do you think of this? And it's like, well, you need so much more information and to understand the context of that decision or that exercise selection or that nutrition, that it's really hard to give you a proper understanding of if it's good or not. Because I could make the argument that any food under the right context or any exercise under the right context could be deemed as, you know, a good decision. Okay, so we always need much more detail, which I know is a bit annoying because, you know, it's just I've asked a question and I want an answer, but unfortunately that's not how fitness and health works. Next point, awareness always comes before action. 100%. If we look at the science of behavioral change, like if you're not aware of areas that you could change or need to change, then how are you supposed to know what to do? So awareness always comes before. And then once we start to become aware of things, it's like, oh wow, I didn't realize that I was always eating chocolate around 3 o'clock. Well, then I give you the keys. And it's like, okay, well, if we just look to tweak our lunch a little bit, or maybe we add a little bit more protein to our breakfast and lunch to then help curb our hunger cravings throughout the afternoon, that might help you feel less hungry at that stage. And then that awareness, we can then turn into action. Next point, cardio is a bad way to achieve fat loss. Cardio is absolutely the worst way to achieve fat loss because it's like every time you run, you're effectively trying to break yourself down. We've all fallen for this in the past, but you should view cardio as a way of building up your cardiovascular strength, as something that's going to make your heart stronger, your lungs stronger, your respiratory system better, improve your cardiovascular health, and then to complement that, use your nutrition to guide your body composition. Exercising in general, like training hard to initiate fat loss, is a really inefficient way of doing it. And it's just draining. It's not fun. It's like I'm going into the gym and I'm just trying to punish myself and get my heart rate up as high as I can to burn fat. And I think you'd be absolutely devastated if you realized how many calories you actually burn from targeted training. It's certainly not worth the effort. So channel that effort into something that's going to bring you a greater reward. Like I'd love to be able to run 10K. Rather than lose 10 kgs, okay? Consistency is more important than intensity. Yes, and if I have said this once, I've said it a million times, but typically when we start a program, it's all guns blazing and I'm eating celery shakes again and I'm doing this and that, I'm doing that, and it lasts for 2 weeks. I'm training 7 times and I'm hitting 15,000 steps and I've cut out coffee and I've done another bunch of nonsense and it lasts 3 weeks. But I lost 3 kilos though, so it must have worked. And it's like, well, it didn't, because we can't then sustain it for long enough to see our overall goal. Or we get to the end and we're so rattled and overstressed that we just go straight back to what we were doing, rebound, gain the weight back, and then we're back where we started. Okay, so consistency is always more important than intensity. And I say this to every new client I have. It's like, I actually don't really care what you do when you show up. I don't care how hard you train. I just need you to show up. I just need you to get into the habit of making the gym a part of your life. And then once you are comfortable here and you feel good about being here, then we can start to change what you do and start to challenge you a little bit more. But you need to understand that it needs to be about showing up first, and then what we do after that will really make a big difference. And next point is, I mean, this is specifically important to me in my journey, but get comfortable failing, you'll improve faster in the long term. Now this is a big one, is because like we never truly, I mean this is broadly speaking health wise, but we never truly fail if we don't give up, because we will eventually find the right plan. But I've done a million different things that didn't work and I'm glad I did them like early and quickly, so I learned and then changed direction. Whereas if I'm always kind of dipping a toe in the water and I don't really know and I'm kind of scared to commit, like you will fail until you succeed. But you need to get comfortable, you know, like, oh, I tried that and it didn't work, or I tried that and I got a little bit hurt, or I tried that and, you know, like that just wasn't working for my family or for my nutrition, and then you just change tack. But you never really fail if you're learning from those failings, I think. Next point, do more fitness events. They're great for accountability. This is something that I've missed over the past few years, I think especially through COVID, but when I was younger and in the gym and I was in a CrossFit gym, I really loved the thought of pardon me, I really love the thought of CrossFit competitions, and I did one and it was so much fun. And fun runs have a great vibe, triathlons have a great vibe. When you've got something on the horizon like that, they're just so good. And they're so good just to kind of top up that accountability and excitement around your fitness achievements or doing something for the first time, because I think fitness can be quite isolating. And even when you train in a great community, like no one can lift the kettlebell for you. So it's still very much up to you if it's going to happen. So putting something on the horizon like that that can just keep you accountable and keep you motivated to stay consistent, which is ultimately the most important thing, is super powerful. And I think it's a great idea. If you're struggling for ideas, by the way, on what events to do, just message me anytime. Okay. One salad won't make you lean, one ice cream won't make you fat. Play the long game, but don't kid yourself. This comes down to kind of that consistency being more important than intensity. When I say don't kid yourself, I mean make sure you're measuring progress. The don't kid yourself means, I mean, it's a bit of a crude saying, but if you've heard it, like, don't piss on my back and tell me it's raining. It's one of those things where it's like, we need to understand that there needs to be flexibility in your lifestyle, but the sum of all the parts needs to be moving in the way you want it to, and you need to be measuring that progress. For example, I had fish and chips and ice cream last Friday night. That's not a typical Friday night, and I mean, I like both of those meals, but it's not something that I do often because I don't really like the way it makes me feel afterwards. I've felt like I had heartburn. But making ice cream with William is something that I really enjoy doing. And fish and chips is just what we had because we have takeaway maybe once a fortnight. So it was sort of like a bit of a little bit of a double in a way where it wouldn't normally happen. But I know that that's okay for me personally. One ice cream won't make me fat, obviously, but that's because my regular routine is pretty good. Now, if you're not confident in how your regular routine is going to progress you either towards your goals, or if you feel like it's actually regressing you from your goals, then those types of instances mean more because they're taking you further away from where you want to be. So that's what I mean by don't kid yourself. You need to be able to zoom out and view your nutrition and training as a whole, and then unemotionally ask yourself, is this moving me closer to where I'd like to be? Running is a quick way to get hurt for most people. I mean, I think all of us in 2020 in lockdown experienced that. We are older, heavier, slower than we used to be. Maybe, like most people only remember the glory days where it was like, oh, I used to be able to run 10K. And it's like, well, you used to be able to run 10K at your fittest, but you started once. And I bet you couldn't run 10K then. It's the same as everything else. Like, we need progression. So you might start by running on grass, and then you might start with a couple of timed intervals, and then you build to a consistent 20-minute non-stop run. No different to the way you would start with an air squat, and then you would weight it up a little bit with a barbell, and then you'd slowly start. But to go from couch to 5K, and I know that's an app, but to go straight into a run is just often for a lot of middle-aged people, and that's basically from 30 years to, up. It's just an intensity that a lot of you can't handle at this stage, and you will often pick up a niggle. Eating healthily is more important. Eating healthily, I beg your pardon, is more about your environment than your knowledge. This is huge, and I've done so much content lately on the importance of your environment, and absolutely it is, because I don't care who you are. If you are surrounded by temptation all the time, you will eat at a lesser quality than you know to be correct for you. So, I mean, the easiest one to understand is if I can't help myself when there's ice cream in the house, don't buy it. Because at 8 o'clock on a Friday night, well, I'm probably not going to be motivated enough to go to Coles and get some. But if it was in the house, 100% I'd eat it. That's the easiest way to explain that. Optimize your environment and you will be successful. This is not just talking about your house. Like, if you want to pick up skills that other people have, you hang around them or you join a community where the desired behavior is the norm. So if I wanted to level up my reading skills, I would join a book club because they read all the time, and by proxy, I would like to read all the time, so I will start to adapt that habit. If I wanted to be a better runner, I would join a run club. If I wanted to be, you know, an early bird, I'd start hanging around with people who wake up early. It's as simple as that. Like, you can pick up skills by association. Optimizing your environment also comes back to that eating healthily. It's like, well, I can get stuff out of the house that I know is a bit of a trigger for me. Or I can leave the foam roller out by the coffee table if I know I need to stretch a little bit more. Or I can put a message up on the fridge that says stretch while the kettle is on. You know, like just little cues like that where I can start to then do more and more healthy things. That is what we talk about when we talk about environment. People will project their insecurities onto you when you succeed at fitness. Ignore them. Have you ever had someone say to you, oh, just be careful you don't get too skinny? Or, oh, just be careful you don't gain too much muscle, you might look like a man. This says absolutely nothing about you and everything about them, because I guarantee that no one who is comfortable with their health and fitness will ever try and bring you down like that. And I'm not saying that they're consciously trying to bring you down, it's often more a subconscious thing. But people who are comfortable with their body and their health will be nothing but supportive. The people who aren't will try and subconsciously drag you down to their level. Now, as soon as you understand that, you'll be able to deal with it way better. But it was something that was a little bit of a challenge for me early days, for sure. And still can be a little bit. Next one, eat more protein. It helps everything. Self-explanatory, protein is an essential nutrient. It helps you basically grow all sorts of bodily tissues and it helps keep you full. So it's just a really good idea for absolutely anything. Great for recovery too, great for controlling hunger. Hunger signaling, it's just essential, eat more protein. Okay, breakfast is not essential, but it's a good idea. The whole idea of breakfast not being essential is that, I mean, there's no real meal of the day that is essential. It's essential that you eat, but no meal is more essential than any other. It's a good idea because it means you won't let yourself get too hungry and potentially splurge elsewhere. So breakfast is a really good idea. Snacking is a made-up phenomenon and you're best served without it. I mean, snacking was invented by the food industry in the 70s, basically as a way of selling more food. No one in the 1820s had to come in for morning tea. They would have breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Snacking is certainly a phenomenon. It's made up. I'm in favor of a post-workout snack. I think that can definitely help recovery. But if you want to have snacks, just try and have fruit. Keto is a shit diet. Yeah, enough said. It's a shit diet. Unless you have epilepsy or there is some kind of illness, or if you've been medically advised to be ketogenic, obviously, then that's totally different. But I'm talking about John Smith from Ivanhoe, who's 43, father of two, who wants to drop 10 kilos. Don't do keto, mate. Or Karen Smith, his wife, who also wants to drop 10 kilos. Please don't do keto. Okay, the next one is a big one. I think I'll expand on this on a future episode, but you have plenty of discipline, but you're just lacking clarity on your required path of action. And a lot of this comes back to the confidence in the plan. Because if you don't have confidence in your plan, then at the first sign of struggle, you'll be like, oh, I don't even know if this is working. What's the point? But a lot of that comes from competence, because if you don't believe that you're competent in your knowledge to kind of change your outcomes, then why would you have any confidence? That would just be naive. So this is a big one. Like, if you are lacking clarity on what you need to do, that would be a large part of the reason why you feel like you don't have any self-control or discipline. Muscle soreness is not an indicator of a good workout. No, it's not, because otherwise after 6 weeks of training and you're not getting sore anymore, it means your workouts aren't that good. Muscle soreness is an indicator of a few things, but mainly it's a style of contraction in the workout called an eccentric contraction, which means that your muscles are tensing under load. Okay, that is what tends to stimulate muscle soreness with my clients. Think a Bulgarian split squat, think a negative pull-up, stuff like that. Fitness is a lifelong pursuit, not a 30-day challenge. I've spoken about that already, but yes, super, super important. Zooming out, taking it for what it is, and not just always focusing on that next goal chasing your tail. Doing healthy actions will be considered weird by a lot of people, but it's a poor representation of our society and you shouldn't take it personally. When I say it's a poor representation of our society, I mean as a whole, like the health of our community is not very good. And I don't think it's controversial to say that. We've got a high percentage of adults and kids who are overweight. We've got a growing percentage of that overweight percentage who are now classified as obese. So the actions that are keeping you fit and well, they're going to put you in the minority. So, you know, that's what I mean by it'll be considered weird that you don't drink alcohol that much. It'll be considered weird that you maybe pack your lunch and take it to work every day. Or people will be like, why do you always eat the same thing? Or, you know, why are you always running? Or why are you doing this? Or are you sure you should be putting your body under that much strain? And the reality is you should probably kind of raise your eyebrows and be like, I wish you would put some, you know, wish you would put some strain on your body. But that would be a smarty pants response. We certainly don't need to do that. But you do understand that just because it's weird to a lot of people doesn't mean it's wrong. I think it's incredibly important that you do understand that. Guys, that was my 30 points. It was a reflective piece from when I turned 30 earlier on in the year, as I said. If you can relate to any of those, I would love to hear about it. If you think I've missed a couple, again, I would love to hear about it. If you think that I just need guests on because, mate, you're not actually clever enough to carry this yourself, also, I would love to hear about it. I do have a couple more guests lined up. I hope you guys have a great week. Enjoy your Easter this weekend. If you're listening to it past Easter, obviously, I hope you had a nice Easter. But I will see you guys again soon for another episode of The Simple Life. Have a great day.